Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power.
Hello, welcome to Hodge Block Talk Radio. This is the Messenger Edition. Thank you for tuning in. We have co-producers Ken and Rondaya Hodge. And now you will hear a message from the Messenger, Rondaya Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you once again, Nurse Carmen, for that introduction. Once again, it is an honor to be before you. Tonight, we just want to talk about, I hate to be so blunt about it, but just plain common sense. When the beginning, when we were created, one of the things that we gave ourselves was common sense. We gave ourselves intelligence. We have to understand just who it is that we are, because so many times when you're around the religious folks, they say so many things that contradict the other thing in which they're saying. And one of the things that kind of gets me is they're always talking about the return of Jesus.
Mm.
And I just want us, I mean, in one breath, they tell you that you have Jesus in you, the spirit, because mm-hmm. what we have to understand is we're only talking about the spirit. And as I've said so many times on this podcast, we've got to be able to transform our minds so that we're thinking on a higher level. Part of scripture tells you that God is spirit, so you must worship him in spirit. But we can't seem to separate spirit from physical. And so when we say that Jesus is in me and the God that is in me, we have to understand that it is that spirit. So if that spirit is within you and it is the reason you have your being because of that spirit, how can we constantly say we're waiting for him to return? If he is already within you, what are you waiting for to return? And so it just really gets me that we have communion the first Sunday. We go through the rituals and stuff. But if God is already here, if God is omnipresent, what is it that we're waiting for to return? And because we get so confused in our thinking, because we're saying one thing and believing something else and doing something else, we're missing the mark. As you guys know, I always like to tell you that all things are working together for the good. And so we have to understand that the things that are working, they're working now for your good, not for one day when he returns, because he is already, well, the spirit is already here. God is omnipresent. So if God is omnipresent, what is it that we're waiting for? And because we're waiting for something, what we're doing is we're missing, or we're letting our life just pass us by, because we're waiting on that great sky to open up, when instead of looking for the sky to open up, we need to allow our hearts to open up so that the Spirit can direct us, so that we can hear what it is that God is truly saying to us. we have gotten to the point now, if it does not come from out of the 66 books that they wrote and called it the Bible, then they just don't believe it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But if, and it's really vexing to me, the fact that they can stand firm on something that totally contradicts itself. I have Jesus in me, but I'm waiting for that day for him to return.
Amen.
It's amazing that we can constantly accept this and say this and do these things when he is here. The spirit is within you. When that spirit leaves you, trust me, you will be no more. And speaking of Jesus, when Jesus appeared before his disciples, supposedly in the upper room, has anyone passed away and you've seen them as plain as day?
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then, if that be the case, can you tell me what separates that person from Jesus? Because that's what happened with Jesus as well.
Mm. Well, what separates that is people believe Jesus was God in man form.
And this is true. But what they have to understand is not only is Jesus God in man form, but we are all God
Amen,
in
brother.
Some form or another.
Amen. Amen.
And so this is why I don't try to make light or try to make little of what a great messenger Jesus was, but he was the same as you and I. But we try to make something spectacular to set him up higher on a higher pedestal when it's not necessary. Jesus never boasted about how great he was. He just tried to get us to understand that we are all one. They've even made it that Jesus gave Paul, gave Peter the power to walk on the water, and he didn't do that. Jesus walked on the water, and so did Peter. So what separates Peter from Jesus? And please understand me, by no means am I trying to limit the great work that Jesus did, but I'm just trying to show us how even this is what Jesus tried to get all of us to understand, that we are all one, that we can all do these things when we come to know who we are.
Yeah.
And as I've said so many times, the only difference between Jesus and every single one of us is the fact that Jesus knew and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we come into knowing who we are, we do amazing things. And we've all done it over the course of our lives. We've done some amazing things.
Yes.
And we've done it through the spirit that is within us. And in the book of Philippians, it says, I can do all things. And they say Christ, and you can use Christ if you want, if that makes you feel good, because Christ and God are one. The same
Amen.
Way, you can really say, you know, people will look at you crazy, but you can say, I can do all things through Ron that strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand the reason Jesus said him is because he knew that they lacked the faith to believe that they can do it. So he said, since you don't believe that you can do it, ask in my name.
Mm-hmm.
Me and the Father, we won. I'm cool with them. Ask, I'll grant it for you. But technically, we can do the exact same thing because there is no difference whatsoever. But if you tell any religious person that, they look at you like you bumped your head.
Mm.
And as I try to share the message with some that have been under the doctoring or the teaching of these different religions and stuff, for some reason or somehow or another, they get the feeling through my saying that I don't believe that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And how much further from the truth can anybody take that, that I don't believe that there is a God? I know that there is a God, and I know that that God is part of me. And not only is he a part of me, but he's a part of each and every one of us.
Yes, yes.
All good and perfect gifts come from God.
That's right.
Okay, so do we believe that to be a fact?
Yes.
We believe that to be a fact. Have any of us done good?
Yes. Of course.
But now, remember what the scripture says. All good and perfect gifts come from where?
God. God.
And we've done good. We've given some good gifts, per se. And I don't mean like a present, but gifts. Like,
yeah,
and,
right,
and,
yeah.
Sister T, I was joking with you earlier when I said it's going to be about you. But that was a good and perfect gift that you did that time.
Yeah,
and I keep bringing it up. That was just an example that you used. And I know each and every one of us throughout the course of our day, our lives, we're doing the same thing.
That's right. Amen.
And in different levels. Brother co-producer, that's a good and perfect gift you do when you help these people out of a jam that they're in. Their livelihood is about to be taken away from them, and you go in and you restore their jobs for them. Isn't that a good gift?
Yeah, it's a great gift.
I would think so, brother, but there are some who don't think so.
Well, yeah, because I know that there are some that don't think so, but I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, thank you. And that's all I know. Yeah, it is what it is, and that's all that matters.
That's right. From a selfish perspective.
Exactly. And when it's coming from a selfish perspective, then we need not take heed to that. Why? Because we're working on the good. We are working on trying to be the best that we can be, create the best life that we can create.
Right.
Jesus left on record that Jesus said that the way is so simple that a fool couldn't error. But if we follow behind religion, that's all we do. And if you think about Jesus' mission when he was here, all he did majority of the time was rebuke religion. He told the priest, you've made it so hard that you can't even do the things that you're asking the people to do. Why? Because it wasn't necessary. And Jesus knew that. What good is you spending 2-3 hours in a building when you got so many people out here that need you? But they can't get you because you're obligated to be somewhere so that you can be in communion with God when technically you're in communion with God. When they have their morning prayer, they start out by saying, thank you, Lord, for waking me, for allowing the blood to still run warm, all of this and that they like to say. But now I've got to get in my car and come out to somewhere to meet you. Now, mind you, you was at my bed this morning and woke me up.
Mm-hmm.
You made sure all my limbs and everything was working. Now I got to go get in my car and go meet you somewhere else.
All right, now. Mm-hmm.
As Brother Malcolm would say, that's just not intelligent.
Mm.
For us to constantly be thinking this, and I'll reiterate this again, by no means am I telling anyone not to go to church. I'm not saying that. If going to church brings you joy, then you go. But don't go under the delusion that that's where you got to meet God at. Don't go under the delusion that if I don't get there, I won't get to have communion with God. Don't go under the false pretense that in order for me to make it into heaven, I've got to go there and I got to give them all my money. Don't go, even if you want to give them your money, I'm not telling you not to. But I'm just saying, don't go there with these illusions that this is what it's going to take for me to please God. You want to please God? Live and be the best you that you can be. Because that's what you were placed here to do, to be the best that you can be. So that people will see you and see God. And out of all the stories that you've heard about Jesus, did you ever hear stories about him speaking in tongues?
No.
He had the power. When supposedly when he got baptized and the Spirit fell down upon him, did he come out that water shouting?
Mm-mm.
But these are all different little traditions and things that they've got set up to make you think something that just isn't so. Now, when Sister T told us about the experience at the restaurant, I got the Gladdy Glads inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the Spirit recognizing that you are obedient to the Spirit.
Amen.
And it's that same Spirit within you that touched you to do what you did, all right? That same Spirit resides in me.
Uh-huh.
And this is how we're able to touch and agree. But it's hard for me to understand how I can touch and agree waiting on someone to return that's already here. It's just, and we do it daily because we've been so conditioned to believe that the only place. And if you really think about it, some of the places that they've set up and established as quote unquote God's house, they're not really better than your own place. But this is where God resides. No, God resides in each and every one of us. So when we get to this place they call church, God, we're bringing God with us. The question is, will we activate it? Will we be obedient to the Spirit? Or will we be obedient to what it is that man has established for us to do? Because man says at 11 o'clock, you start morning service. Suppose that's not the will of God. Is that going to change?
No.
Mm-mm.
And the only way it will change is if all of a sudden somebody get up and lose their mind and start shouting and falling all over the place, then they want to say the Spirit is taking control. No, somebody acting a fool.
Mm.
Truth be told. Because you have to understand, when you get to know who you are, you cannot be the same. And when I say you cannot be the same, that does not mean all of a sudden you become a Bible thumper or whatever they want to call it. That's not what it means when I say you won't be the same. What I mean by that is you will look to do more good than you would to do more harm. You will try to treat people right. Does that mean you gonna get? Does that mean you'll never get off on the corner, off in a corner, and talk to somebody else about somebody else? I'm not saying that, but it will if you allow the Spirit. Because we know half the time when we're talking about somebody, the Spirit is telling us it ain't right, and we know it, huh? But we keep on doing it. But the Spirit is talking to us, trying to let us know. You don't know what path that person is taking. But because it isn't the path that we've chosen, we find that we can talk about them. But we have to understand this thing. In order for us to be, because our hearts are desiring it. Now, all we have to do is not allow our brains to control us as much. We need to be a little bit more obedient to our soul, our spirit. We want to have communion with God, then we need to allow God to commune with us. He's our friend. He's our mother, our father. He's everything to us. So if he's everything to us, why do I need somebody else to talk to him for me?
Amen.
And why does he tell somebody else something when he can tell me?
That's
he
right.
can tell somebody else something when he can tell me when I'm not listening because I won't listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need a third person. We're talking about God. And it's just amazing how they can believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, and he's still lost. His mission was to come down here and redeem mankind. If God had to get in the flesh to come and redeem us, I'm sorry, I'm trying to, and I'm not a scholar, and I might be missing something here, but I just don't understand what kind of God is it that decided that he wanted to redeem man, and he came down here himself to redeem us. If he was God, all he had to do was, you're redeemed. But now we got the story that Jesus redeemed us. Jesus took all our sins and stuff to the cross. But now everything we do is a sin. So what did he take to the cross? Why do I have to still say three Hail Marys and all of this and that if he took everything to the cross with him? I'm just trying to understand how we as intelligent beings can allow ourselves to be so brainwashed into believing this stuff that we don't even use our own common sense, in which we were given from the beginning of time. I can quickly say to somebody that I'm God. As soon as I say I'm God, then their senses kick in and tell me that I'm not. But their senses don't kick in to tell them that if God wanted us redeemed because we were so lost, that he didn't have to send anyone down here. Jesus was an example to show us how we could live our lives. That's all. And he made it easy, and there was no place at all that Jesus thought that he was too high or too low to go to. They accused him of all kind of things, but him himself, he didn't think it was anywhere that he couldn't go. His own followers got mad at him because of who he had dinner with at times. Or he used to hang out at Mary and Martha's house all the time. Send Lazarus out in the field for a while he in there with Mary and Martha. I'm just saying. That was a little jokey joke. but you understand what I'm saying? But we can't, and that's another thing. We can't accept the fact, and we think it's blaspheming to think that Jesus, who is love, could have loved the woman. He came.
It ain't really hard to believe. It ain't hard to believe if you think about it. It just makes sense.
It sure isn't. That's right. Makes a lot of sense.
But if you try to get any of these religious scholars or anyone to accept that fact, then they think that you're crazy. And I don't know if he had a relationship with him. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I'm just saying, why would that be such a terrible thing if he did? When each and every one of us are doing it. Don't we see what happens when you deprive people of it? Ask the priests. What happens when you deprive them of it?
Mm.
So why is it such a terrible thing that Jesus was intimate with a woman? Why is that such a terrible thing?
It isn't.
But you go to church on Sunday and you say that and see what happened. And they try to perform an exorcist on you. Because he got that person got the devil in him. But we've got to wake up from that mentality and understand and walk in this glory, because we are all special. We know that everything that God created was good. And so that, because everything he created was good, that includes you and I. We can't allow people to make us bad when we're not bad. Because I did something that you didn't like, it was okay with me, but you didn't like it, and it didn't affect you at all. Now I'm a bad person? When 90% of the time, that person that called you bad, if you stayed a watch on them, you'd find out they're doing the exact same thing. So why is it that you can label me bad? I'm doing something that I like. And if I like it and it feels good to me, how can you tell me it's bad? And just to clear it up, we like to eat. Okay, and we eat, but we do know that there comes a point in time where we got to stop. Because then it is bad to you. But now they started out telling you that you couldn't eat this, you couldn't eat certain fishes, you couldn't eat pork, you can't eat this. Everything he made was good. Jesus even said, don't worry about what a man eats. Worry about more what a man say and do. That's far more important, because he knew that one day that this body would be no more. And so this body isn't what the concern is. It's about your spirit. It's about using this time that you gave yourself, this present, preset time that you gave yourself, that you are making the best of it in any way that you see. Not what I see, but what you see. Because it is your path. It is your life. And I have to do the same for mine. But I can't do it for mine if I'm trying to please other people and following behind a religion that was set up not by Jesus, but by some guys that didn't really understand and know what he was talking about all the while he was here. And then when he left, all of a sudden, the light finally clicked. So I just want us to be mindful of that. I want us to be able to recognize, what's the proper word for it? I wanted to say BS, but recognize something that just doesn't make sense. If I told any of you guys you can travel cross country with no gas, you start to use your intelligence to understand that that's just not possible. That's just not so. You can't get in your car without having some gas to get across town. So you know that you need it. So you know that God is the great provider. He is everything. So because he is everything, why are we sitting back waiting for his return when he is here in the flesh in each and every one of us? I thank each and every one of you for tonight. I want you to know that I do truly, truly love each and every one of you. And my wish, my desire is that each and every day we can be more, our light can shine brighter, that people can understand that there is another way. Brother Producer.
I thank you, Brother Messenger. I thank you for your message tonight. And I thank everyone for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio for the podcast messenger. Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, listen, folks, have a wonderful week. And we'll be right here Thursday night, 9 p.m., with this same godly message. You got it already. There's no need to look for it. Talk to you on Thursday night. Have a nice evening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
All.